Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another very exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Duthane, and we apologize for our musical intro today, but today's date is December 29th, 2017, and we have a very, very exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Duthane, and we're broadcasting live through Blog Talk Radio from your nation's capital. We are streaming over Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And today's show is entitled Solar Now and the Future, 2017 End of Year Review. And we'll be looking back over this 2017 year and talking about a number of very, very important issues around the issue of solar renewable energy and its economic impact on Black America. And you know the slogan for our show: if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. And this show is sponsored by and brought to you on a weekly basis by the following: the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and energy renewable companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar and installation companies. To address the economic effect of higher energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to use our HBCU campuses and Black-owned farmlands to develop workforce development initiatives to build capacity to deal with the underemployment rate in the African-American community among our young millennials who are now attending our HBCUs. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, and you can get more information about the BSLF HBCU Radio Talk Show Solar Initiative by logging on to our website at www.positivechangepc.com, and you can click on our GoFundMe link, and you'll be able to get that information right there from our website at, once again, www.positivechangepc.com. It's also brought to you by Scotton Communications, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newsletter production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. You can contact Dr. Gwendolyn Scott Duthane at scottcommunicationsnetwork.com. Once again, that's Dr. Gwendolyn Scott Duthane, and that's scottcommunicationsnetwork.com. Now, as we were saying, that we'll be taking a look back over the 2017 year. And I think we've had a tremendous number of guests. And we're going to look at some of the guests that we've brought on the airways and people who were invited to the airways of this show, Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. And you'll be able to follow us on our website by looking under our News and Events tab, and you can click on our archives, and we'll give you the month that each one of these individuals came on our show, and you'll be able to go to that month link on our archives in our News and Events section, and you'll be able to follow these guests. But one of our first guests that we had on our show was Mr. Jerome Ringo with Zotec Energy. And you'll be able to go to our May 2017 archive link and click on that, and you'll be able to scroll down and get this information on Mr. Jerome Ringo. Mr. Ringo is the chief founder of Zotec Energy, a leading-edge renewable energy developer. Zotec is an accumulation of Mr. Ringo's long life work to promote sustainable development through the use of clean technology solutions. He is an international recognized leader on global and environmental issues and has led two of the largest environmental organizations in the world, a 6 million member Wildlife Federation, and the Apollo Alliance, which was a 19 member organization during his tenure. After years of advocacy work, Mr. Ringo saw the need for direct involvement. The need is in developing the world where there is pressing issues around the issue of sustainable energy. That made Mr. Ringo form Zotec to directly tackle issues and energy security. Today, Ringo draws on an international network that brings the best in technology solutions and is a leader in the developing world. He has formed diverse teams with broad experience in renewable energy solutions, as well as development in Africa, India, Asia, and Latin America. Under his leadership, he has secured a 100 megawatt power purchase agreement with the Electricity Company of Ghana in 2016. In addition, he met with leaders and prime ministers throughout Africa, Asia, Latin America to promote Zotec's unique hybridnetic technology. And this is a very, very outstanding brother, and you'll be able to go to our website. And Mr. Ringo, we had some technical difficulties with getting actually having him on the show, but we did reach out, and we did attempt to reset that broadcast for that show, but we weren't able to do that. But he is one of those guests that we scheduled for the airways of Solar Now and the future with his economic impact on Black America. We also had on our show, this is Janie Fennell, the Executive Director of Clean Energy Ambassadors for Leadership in Energy. She worked in the domestic environmental projects and as a researcher. Okay? She has an organization here called Ambassadors for Leadership in Energy. She's a writer, researcher, communicator, public analyst, and program manager. She was a consultant for the Alternative Sustainable Development Policy Mechanisms and Educational Outreach on Clean Energy Technologies. Her career experiences include working with the U.S. Agency on International Development as a Foreign Service Officer, as well as for IBM and DynoCorp International. At IBM, she worked on projects including clean energy change and development in IT sustainable platforms and business and for business consumers. Her work has been published in professional journals and magazines, including the Journal for Resource Magazine for American Societies in Agriculture and Biological Engineers. She has a master's from the University of Michigan. In agriculture and applied economics, and focusing on international development and energy economics. And she pursued a postmaster's work at George Washington University in energy, environmental management, and resource policy. She served on the board of the Association of Energy Engineers Capital Area Chapter. It's a council for women in energy and environmental leadership. That was a bio on Mrs. Janie Fennell, and she was a very gracious guest on our show, and she talked about a number of the issues facing diversity as it concerned as attempting to assist African Americans to get more jobs in the renewable energy area. Following her, we had Mrs. Betty Ann Kane. She is currently serving as the chair of the Public Service Commission here in Washington, D.C., and she took that post on March 3, 2009. In 2014, she was confirmed for her third term at the end of June 2000, which ends in June of 2018. Betty Kane is a very experienced public official combining over 40 years of service in the District of Columbia government. She was elected and appointed positions with extensive private sector experience in regulatory administrative public matters. Before joining the Public Service Commission, she served as trustee and executive director for the Director of the Columbia Retirement Board. She served 4 years as an at-large D.C. Board of Education and was elected 3 terms as an at-large member of the D.C. Council. She served on the council, which included chairing the Public Service Commission, Television Committee, and Legislative Budgetary Oversight and Responsibility on the Public Service Commission, the Office of People's Council, and the Office of D.C. Public Cable Television. Now, Mrs. Kane came on the show, and she was very, very, very informative. And it was surrounding the issue of the removal back during the summer of another $7.5 million from the D.C. Energy Development Fund. And it was a very, very interesting conversation because she was able to share with our listening audience at the DMV market area that the D.C. government has formed what they call a legislative process, a renewable development energy fund, which that fund is supposed to be there to assist 50% of D.C. low and moderate income home residents. Is supposed to reduce their utility bills by 50% by year 2032. And she talked about how the city council had been redirecting monies from this fund. So she had a DC auditor, do an audit report on that fund, and it came up to over $60 million had been collected. And this collection of these monies comes directly from the D.C. ratepayers. If you have a water bill, an electric bill, okay, or a gas bill in the District of Columbia, you pay into this renewable energy development fund. Now, this money was supposed to be used solely to assist these 100,000 households for D.C. residents. Now, we know without a doubt that you definitely have to have energy because if you know like I know, if you stick your head out that door on December 29, 2017, the hook has finally arrived. Now, we're going to keep it real here on the airways of solar now in the future with its economic impact on Black America. But we all pay into this renewable development fund if you are a resident in District of Columbia, or a business, or a any form of entrepreneur who resides inside of the district, or homeowner, you pay into this fund. It is very, very, very interesting because that ties into a number of issues that we'll get into later on down in the show. But we wanted to take a minute to sort of keep pace and keep this show rolling today, because as I said, this is going to be a show that we're going to look on a number of areas, and one of them was in January was called Where the HBCU Clean Energy Consortium Concept Really Came From. And individuals will be able to go to our February archives on our website, and you'll be able to click on that news and events tab, and you can scroll down to February 2017 link. And if you please click on that, you'll see where the HBCU clean energy concept really came from and why a few HBCU presidents are meeting with Donald Trump. And I thought this was a very, very, very timely topic, because we don't want to get too far off the beaten path of looking back. And as we said, the name of this show today will be looking back and reviewing 2017. And this was a memorandum of understanding that seven of our historically Black colleges and universities signed on January 17, 2017. Now, as we know, Barack Hussein Obama went out of the seat of the presidency in January. In January 20th, 2017, and the last official thing that took place was the signing of this consortium agreement with DOEE right before the former head of DOEE, who was Monsky, who served as the Secretary of Department of Energy under Obama's administration. Now, this agreement was signed with, as we indicated, a number of our HBCUs. And this was a local article that appeared. Morgan State University joins coalition of HBCUs to sign agreement with the U.S. Department of Energy, HBCU Clean Energy Consortium, to focus on bringing solar energy to working communities and STEM workforce development. This was signed by the Secretary of Energy, Ernest Monsky, presiding over the ceremony with the agreement on January 17, 2017, at the headquarters here in Washington, D.C. But as we said, when we look at the universities who were part of that agreement, who signed, you'll be able to go to our website at PositiveChangePC.com. Click on our news and events tab, and you'll be able to see that that concept was started with one of our business associates, ARS Energy, Inc., which is headed by Mr. Damian Strand. And he has a letter dated May 5th, 2011, to Mr. Miller F. Hollis, Jr., Associate Director, White House Initiatives on HBCUs, 400 Maryland Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C. And the letter went on to, "Dear Mr. Hollis, on behalf of ARS Energy, we are pleased to announce the completion and evaluation of a proposal to the Race to the Top Energy Security for HBCUs. The ARS received proposals from Alabama State University, Tuskegee University, Florida A&M, and Clark University. This letter will serve as a notification to our office as to the statutes of and evaluations." Now, Mr. Strawn, who came on the show back in February, dealt with this issue. And yes, truly, Ronald McLean, who I wear a number of different hats, and if you've been listening to Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, you're quite aware of this. We, in fact, our organization, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, if you go to our website and click on About Us, you will see that we launched a BSLM HBCU Solar Initiative Project Introduction and Rationale, which talks about the utilization of African American owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop the capacity for solar installation for unemployed Black men and women, to create capacity for utilization of renewable energy for Black owned farmlands, institutions, hospitals, municipalities, and universities by training young people locally and nationally from the diaspora and visiting student athletes, to target 106 HBCUs and colleges and universities to become members with the North American Board of Electrical Practitioner Continuing Education Certificate Training Providers through their continuing education and workforce development programs, working in conjunction with Kaplan University of El Paso, Texas, to provide online training in their local area marketplaces for interested candidates, to encourage HBCUs with workforce development programs to work with in conjunction with local solar companies in their marketplaces to help them develop apprentice training programs for individuals successfully completing the NACEPT Continuing Education Workforce Development Training Programs. These are just a few of our targeted initiatives under our cooperative for positive change. And when you put these two together, it's very, very clear where this consortium developed the concept from, because we met with the United Negro College Fund. And way back in May of the previous year before, in 2016, and put this information directly in the hands of the CEO of the United Negro College Fund, director of the United Negro College Fund, and we also contacted the gentleman with the consortium group in Miami, Mr. Butler, and gave him an opportunity to come on to The airways of this show, Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact, and explain to our listening audience what had taken place with the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding with DOEE. Because we had no problems. You had with that, you had University of Maryland Eastern Shore, which yours truly, and one of our business associates, Brother Chuck Banks, we went down and met with the dean of the School of Engineering, Dr. Dunn, there at the UMES, which was one of the first two HBCUs to build a solar installation upon under the leadership of former Provost Dr. Thomas. We did this in 2015. Also, we have been in contact with the University of the Virgin Islands, which we had Brother Puru on the show several months ago, and he talked about the damages to that soul farm that Dr. Thomas, because she hails from the U.S. Virgin Islands, and she played a very intricate role in getting that particular soul farm started at the University of the Virgin Islands. And he worked on that initiative for the University of the Virgin Islands. And he talked about the devastation of that solar installation farm with the recent storm of that, which was a Category 5, Maria, that hit the islands. So we have done a lot in the calendar year of 2017, but we wanted to go back and give you some historical overview of some of the things that we were able to cover with this show, and we're going to continue to keep on moving because we've got a lot more to cover here on the airways of Solar Now in the future with its economic impact on Black America, because we're going to take a short pause for the calls, and we'll be back up and running.
I hear the song worth singing. I do too. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to the airways and Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And at the top of our show, I forgot to give that number out to our listening audience that can join us by calling 646-668-2948. Once again, that number is 646-668-2948. And we had a few glitches with our introduction, musical introduction at the beginning of our show, so we sort of got off track there for a second. Now, we call that number once again. That number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number because you'll be in our green room, and we want to bring in what we call a queue mode, and we want to bring you right on into our studios so you can join us on the airways of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. On our Solar Now in the Future 2017 end of year review. And as we review the year, one of the things that we wanted to get and make it real plain with our African American community, the lack of engagement that has taken place with getting this information out to our community over the airways of Black Talk Radio formats. Now, if you are listening to us, you'll be able to go to our website and click on our February News and Events tab, scroll down, and you'll see Solar Power Job Outlook Look Good for 2017. This particular report is dated February 13, 2017. According to the Advanced Energy Economy for 2016 market report, U.S. Advanced Energy is now a $200 billion industry, creating more revenue than both pharmaceutical manufacturing and beer. Globally, the number tops four globally. Solar energy topped $1.4 trillion in revenue streams. That's both fashion and airline industry, as quoted by the CNBC National Solar Jobs Census, found 1 in 50 new jobs last year. 1 in 50 new jobs was created in the solar and renewable energy industry. Now, this is very, 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 as the little boys say, interesting. When you look once again at what they said happened. Also, you'll be able to, before you get to that article, it's scroll down and you'll see an article that was said, Black Americans, numbers don't lie. African Americans only make up 6.6% of the workforce for solar jobs in 2015. This information was put out by the Solar Foundation. And this study came out in 2000, fiscal year 16, because it's the census data of 2015. There was a study put out by an organization that we will be going into more detail talking about in the formation of our show today, because we have to get around and sort of cover everything in this fast-moving 60 minutes. But we have to take a little time and look at what this study said. This study went on to indicate that when we look across the numbers, nationwide, 208,000, okay, solar job data, 119,931 were installation jobs. These are the people who install the PV systems on top of the home. 30,282 manufacturing jobs. Sales representative jobs, 24,377. Project development jobs, 22,422. Other jobs, which I guess would be secretarial and clerical positions, 11,848 jobs. And I broke down in percentages on this line. 57.4 installation jobs. 14.5 manufacturing jobs. 11.7 sales and distribution jobs. 10.7 project management. 5.7% was other. Now, in the total number of companies, this is very, very important. Solar installation companies, 9,929. But when it came to African American companies, we have 9. Let me repeat that. We have 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 9 companies out of 9,929 solar installation companies installing PV systems across this, the United States of America. That is a travesty. Now, when we look at solar patents, 2,915. 5,331,791 homes are powered by solar already. Now, these are 15 data figures. 10.51% gigawatts averages electric prices. Now, this thing breaks down solar work demographics out of 260,000 people working in the solar industry nationwide. It was women, 23.8%. Latinos, 11.3%. Asian and Pacific Islanders was 8.6%. Veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces, 8.1%. African Americans, I want to save us for last, because we are last. 6.6%. The American Association of Blacks in Energy, AIB, let me tell you who they are and what they do and about the report that they put out, which we had the privilege of covering their national conference here in March of 2017. The American Association of Blacks in Energy is a national association of energy professionals, founded, dedicated to ensure the input of African Americans and other minorities in the decision and developments of energy policy regulations, R&D technologies, and environmental issues. Now, they have more than 45 chapters across the United States of America. We use the expertise of our members to analyze energy policy, to serve as a resource for the community leadership, consumer policy, money maker, regulators, of the impact of these policies have on the underrepresented communities. We underrepresented communities. Let me say that again. We are committed to building a pipeline of African Americans in leadership positions in the energy industry throughout the scholarship program, students who plan to major in science, mathematics, engineering, technologies, and have opportunities to receive scholarships at the local and regional and national level. Our members have opportunity for professional development in chapter meetings, regional and national. Their history is that they go back to 1977 during the nation's national energy crisis under Jimmy Carter. You had a group of gentlemen who met here in Washington, D.C. and formed this outstanding organization. The mission of AIB is to ensure that the impact of African Americans and other minorities in discussion and development of energy policies, regulations, and as we went on to read earlier, function as a resource for policy discussion about economic, social, and political impact of the environment and the energy policies on African Americans and other minorities, to ensure involvement of African Americans in government policy making, recommending capable, sensitive, and informed personnel to appropriate administration and political officials, encourage both public and private sectors to be responsive to the problems, goals, and aspirations of African Americans in energy, to serve as a resource for agency heads, for members of Congress, and their staffs on energy, to communicate AIB's position on the important issues through the agenda and policy papers in a worldwide audience, including members of Congress, key administration officials, on and on and on. But I just finished giving you who these people are, but let me tell you about the report that they put out in 2009. We as African Americans spent $41 billion for energy in this country. We had 1.1% of the jobs and 0.8% of the wealth from the energy industry. And that took in all forms of energy, whether it was gas, oil, natural gas, nuclear, wind turbine, biomass, solar, electricity. It makes no difference. These are all components of the energy industry, and they're competing components of this energy. But when we look at solar and look at the fact that we only have 9 solar installation African-American run companies in this country, this is a travesty. And the numbers reflect that in terms of the fact that these white solar installation companies are not hiring our young people who are graduating from our historically black colleges and universities and historically white colleges and universities. The numbers don't lie. Now, you'll be able to find that information on our website. We have the privilege of covering their national conference that was held here back on March 21st through the 24th, 2017, here at the National Capitol, and it was held out in the new hotel out in Prince George's County. And right now, the name omits me. And this is how my mind has gone blank looking at as many times I've passed by the National Hall. Excuse me for those who are not from the DMV market area, but they have a huge new casino as well as a 5-star hotel there where Abe hosted their national conference. We also had the privilege of covering their public policy summit, which was held here in October 16th to the 17th, 2017. We've had on the airways of this show Mr. Tracy Woods, who's their daily operation manager, and he does an outstanding job of what they do. So don't misunderstand that we don't have people in this industry. My question is, do they have, as a little boy said, let's make it plain, the conyums to come on this show and talk about what they do? And that's my beef with this whole energy industry. This show, Solar Now and the Future, was an economic impact, was put together to give our African Americans a voice and an opportunity to come on and share with our young millennials what they do every day in this energy industry. It's unconscionable that a person can be invited and refuse to talk. But this happens every day. So like I said, when we're looking at the man in the mirror, we have to be held accountable while we are not engaging and not informing our community on what's going on in this energy industry. I think it is a travesty. And if you've been listening to this show, Solar Now with the Future, with its economic impact on Black America, like I said, numbers don't lie. So you can go to positivechangepc.com and click on our February link, and you will be able to find that information. Under our March tab, you're going to find a link that this topic, we covered this back in March. We didn't have a guest, but I thought that it was a very, very important piece of information that we got out to our community, because there's going to be some very, very changing and trying issues with this technology. And this was an article that was put out by Mr. George Siever. We also had there a Mr. James Joseph with the Corporation of Economic Opportunity, who has been doing some very outstanding things, president of the Corporation of Economic Opportunity, prize winner in 2018, the Greening of Black America and Rural Development Initiative that he put together. You find a very interesting piece on his organization. He's based out of Columbia, South Carolina. Green jobs for everyone. Politicians, economists, and those fighting for social justice inspired by Martin Luther King, who recognized that freedom has little meaning without economic wherewithal to enjoy it. James abandoned his love for science in 1970 in an earmark on a 34-year economic development career. And I think that you need to read this piece on this outstanding brother, and you'll find that under our news and events tab. But we have an article there called Three Signs That the Great Energy Disruption Is Already Here by George Harvey, which was dated February 1, 2017 of this year. And it was a very, very mind and eye-opening article talking about the clean energy and this transportation disruption. There's a YouTube video there, and if you will go there and you will look on it, says, in both projected by a nearly completed description, energy businesses begin in 2020 will be well underway by 2022. The year projected for to disrupt solar power, battery backup, for cost transmission of electricity. And it talks about how technology will change the game. I suggest that anyone reading this book or watching the video keep in mind that projections are wrong. Tony Siever gives compelling reasoning leading to his conclusion that the problems in the rate of exchange he expects seems to have been off a bit. It appears that we was much too conservative, and the change is going on faster than anticipated. In March of 2016, Siever talked about the fact that the cost of electricity from solar power had dropped to 5 cents less than a year after it dropped to 3 cents a kilowatt in multiple auctions. This is a faster than he anticipated that would make a disruption happen sooner by year two than 2022. While the decline of costs for solar power is clearly barely great, however, the decline for cost of grid storage appears to be taking off. Siever talked about the decline of the cost of 19% per year, but the rate has been expected to improve technologies. And it goes on and he talks about the building of this gigabyte factory by Tesla, and it talks about how these technologies are going to play havoc on the workforce in this country. Think that our people need to go online and read what this man is talking about. It is clear that electric vehicles are coming into this marketplace, but it's going to create a lot of opportunities if you're on the right end. That means you need to be getting your electrical certification, getting with companies like ChargePoint, EV Revolutions, and Tesla to become contractors to be a part of the is installing the charging infrastructure for these electric vehicles. These are opportunities that are opening up for our young people, but they don't have and are not going in this direction because they don't have the information. We may need to draw on the airways of Solar Now in the future. Now, as we talked about looking at this thing, when you go to April, because we've got to keep moving on because we got a lot to cover and a few more minutes to get it done. When we go to our April piece, you'll find a piece that called the Obama Administration Driving Force Behind the Utility EV Revolution in this country. And that's very, very, very important. I should have programmed more time for this show. We're down to our last 10 minutes of this show, but we hope that we've been able to give you some consistent information. And remember, this show has been sponsored by the following, and we did not even get around to half of our guests in terms of the actual time limit. So we're going to do a follow-up on this piece here. But as you know, this show is sponsored by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, the Black Sports Legends Foundation, and Skyden Communications, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, letter production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing, publishing, and the speaker bureau management. And that contact information is ScottCommunicationsNetwork.com. That's ScottCommunicationsNetwork.com. And that's Dr. Gwendolyn Scott the Thing would be your contact person there. And as we were trying to continue our conversation, because it was, as we said, we're back into our closing minutes segments of our show, so we're going to make sure that we're able to keep clicking and hitting on as many issues as we can. But one of the things that was very, very important that we feel we need to share was that the cobalt mining. Now, under cobalt mining, you can go to our news and events tab, and you'll be able to look under our November link. And under our November link, it will give you the top mining companies in the United States of America and what they're doing, what they're not doing. And it will tell you what companies you may want to be considering to invest some of your money in. And we also looked at a number of programs. We looked at also the tax bill, which was supposed to be able to be devastating the solar renewable energy industry. We also wanted to get some information out on the 50th Solar Co-op, which is a group called DC Sun, and they had meetings back on December 11th at the Pepworth Library, and there's a program that they offer called the Solar for All program. And if you are a DC resident and you make under head of household $75,550, head of household, and well, you got three people and you make under $67,550, head of household, you got two people there, $60,050. One person head of household, if you make under $52,050, you will be able to qualify for the DC Solar for All program, which this program is set up to help reduce the 100,000 low-income household utility bills by 50% by year 2032. And we've given those head of AMI income requirements to participate in this program. And you need to be able to log on to DOEE www.govee, or you can log on to, of course, our website at positivechangepc.com. That's, and click on our November the 11th, 2017 events program, and you'll be able to get that information. You will also find an announcement for HBCU solicitation for excellent research summer internship programs, which will also be there. And there are a number of very, very exciting, informative issues that are there that you want to be able to take the opportunity to look at. And as we indicated, we had the top nations for cobalt mining, and you'll find that these countries are all located, and it gives you the mining name of the mining companies and their abbreviations. And then it also goes into another article, which will give you the top nations, lithium producing companies, which you will see the list there, starting off with Australia, leading. And this is measured in metric tons. This is a data from 2014, Chile, China, Argentina, Zimbabwe, Portugal, and Brazil. As you can see, you didn't find any lithium mines in the U.S. Cobalt, which is rare than lithium, you'll find out that it's led off by the Democratic of Congo. Next, you have China. Follow that, you have Canada. Then you have Russia, Australia, Zimbabwe, Cuba, Philippines, Madagascar, and New Caledonia. These are the leading countries for mining cobalt. There will be no energy revolution without these two mineral components. Okay? And we are going to be closing this show, but we hope we brought you news that you can definitely use here.
Life is a song worth singing. I can too sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you? Hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.